Good morning, everyone.
The Lord Jesus deserves our praise. Will somebody simply agree? When two or more gathered in His name, He said there He would be. I want to second the motion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye.
Yeah.
If you don't stand up for what is right, you're gonna fall for anything.
Oh, yeah.
Come on and cast your votes for Jesus Christ. Claim Him as your King. I want a second demotion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. To testify for the Lord. Someone who is not ashamed to stand upon His word. Do you love my Jesus? Do you love Him? Take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Do you love all in favor, say aye.
All in favor, say aye.
Say aye. All in favor.
All in favor, say aye.
Say aye.
Yeah.
All in favor.
All in favor, say aye.
Say aye. Oh, do you love my Jesus?
Do you love
Him?
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye. To love Him. All in favor. All in favor. All in favor. All in favor, say aye.
Tamara, it's good to have her today. She was driving all back from Kansas City last night. Big thing going on. It's good to have you today. It's good to have all of you. Thank you for coming today. We're going to have a wonderful service. Let's give the day to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for today. Pray that you'll bless us and encourage our hearts for having been in your presence. So, Lord, we just pray that we'll set aside all the cares, all of our anxieties, all of our worries, and concentrate on you today. Bless our time before you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Now, before you sit down, shake someone's hand, say God bless you to someone, all right? All right, that's good enough. Don't want you to get too terribly friendly. My down at the Steak and Shake, they're having a big, they said it was a potluck dinner. So, yeah, you've heard that one. Mikey is back with us today, Mike Walker. And he has all the shows here and sings here. We just love him. And the best thing he does is the gospel music. Come on, Mikey, come on.
The They say, you say that my faith is blind. My Lord and Savior is just a figment of my mind. Come the end of days, I'll be wearing his seal. My faith is strong, 'cause I know he is real. What if you're wrong, and the Bible is right, and the Lord decides to come back to tonight? What if you wake up and the feeling is gone? Then you just wake up and heaven is gone. My faith says I'm right. What if you're wrong? I keep my eyes focused on him. He's the light that keeps my day from looking so dim. You can say what you want about how I live. You can be sure when he comes, I'm gonna be with him. What if you're wrong, and the Bible is right, and the Lord decides to come back to tonight? What if you wake up and the true Christians are gone? Then you just stuck here, weeping all alone. My faith says I'm right.
My faith says I'm right.
What if you're wrong? It's amazing how people survive without any hope in their meaningless life. If I get the chance, I'll tell you the truth. But if you have all the answers, I'll be praying for you. What if you're wrong and the Bible is right, and the Lord decides to come back tonight? What if you wake up and the true Christians are gone? Then you'd be stuck here weeping all alone. My faith says I'm right.
My faith says I'm right.
What if you're wrong? Yeah. My faith says I'm right. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? Oh no. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong?
Mikey, I love it. I think he called me up in the middle of the night and he was working on that song about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I picked up the phone and he said, hey, listen to this. And he starts strumming it on his guitar. I said, I love it. We all got to be ready. Amen.
Amen.
At any given moment, we don't know what's going to happen. He's right at the door. We got Gary Dooms in the house. Gary, one of the best horn players that I've ever heard. And he's going to come and play, I think, Peace in the Valley. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Right there, my friends. Right there. Amen. Good job, Gare.
Stood in the right spot.
Well, Bernie's here. Sings over at the Hard Luck Diner, does a wonderful job. Bernie, what are you going to sing for us today?
I'm going to do I Believe.
I Believe. I love that one.
I Believe. Yes.
It's Bernie.
Good morning.
When I see the sun shine in the morning, when I feel the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of children laughing, I know it's all part of God's amazing grace. And I believe there's a place called heaven. And I believe in a place called Calvary. Jesus, and I believe that He gave His life for me. Well, I was there the day my mama went to heaven. I held her hand as she closed her eyes to sleep. I heard the sound of 10,000 angels take her soul to be crowned at Jesus' feet. And I believe there's a place called heaven. And I believe in a place called Calvary. Jesus, and I believe that He gave His life for me. And I believe that He gave His life.
Song. Forrest is with us. Forrest, as you know, is one of the best instrumentalists in town. He's also a great singer. We're so happy he's part of our Branson Gospel Sunday right here. So we're going to sing, Forrest.
I'm going to sing Help Is On The Way.
I love that. It's Forrest.
God sent Elijah to make His word known. He said, woman, don't you worry, for God sent me today. And before you even asked Him, help was on the way. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. A brighter day's coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. Troubles of this life come by and burdens get you down. You think no one is listening, you think no one's around. Just remember what His Word says, trust Him and obey. Keep your eyes toward the heavens, 'cause help is on the way. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way.
Give the Lord a big round of applause this morning. Great, 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 man. Great song. I love that song. That's a good song. I want to challenge everybody. I'm going to share this little story if you don't mind. My car broke down a couple weeks ago, and I was right at the stoplight, right in Osceola. Is that how you say it? Osceola? Okay. And my car broke down right at an intersection. My belt came completely off of my car. I mean, and then the car died. I mean, like, died. I mean, like, it was over. And my daughter was with me, and we coasted because the car was moving pretty fast. But we coasted, and we got down. My power steering was out, so it was like, you know. And I got it turned, and we coasted down the hill. And right there was a Casey's General Store. We went right up, man. We got right into that parking spot, right in front of the store. And, I mean, it was there. I got out of the car, and I put up my hood, and this man walks out of the store. He says, "Man," he said, "car break down?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Man, looks like your belt came off." I said, "Yeah, it looks that way. It's on the floor. It's on the ground there. It's not on there anymore." Anyway, he said, "Man, I wish I knew how to fix something like that." I said, "Me too." He got in his car, and, you know, he said, "Sorry." And I said, "That's all right. You didn't do it." And this other man came out. He was an older gentleman. He come out, he looked at my car, he said, "Man," he goes, "your water pump's gone. It was just dangling there." And I was like, "Well, I don't know what that even looks like, so thank you." So so the guy calls his friend, he said, "Hang on a second." He calls his buddy, he says, "Hey, can you come over here and get this car, fix it?" And guy said, "It'll be after 10 tonight." I was like, "Oh, good grief." So I already called a friend of mine anyway. So me and my daughter go in. It's getting pretty late, and we go inside there, and they have subs and pizza and stuff like that. So we got something to eat. And this man walks by, and he says a couple words, but he doesn't say a lot. And he stands there. He walks on by and comes back by again, just stands there and says a few words to me. Kind of got awkward, you know, because he just, you know. And I said, sir, I said, would you like to join us? And he pulled up a chair. On his hat, he said, Vietnam veteran. And so he pulled up a chair and he says, hey, do you care if I show you some pictures? And me and my daughter's like, well, sure. And so he went out to his car, got a bag of pictures. And they were from when he was overseas in Vietnam, of when he was a younger man. And he said, you know, he said, I was going to marry this lady from over there. And her parents asked me to bring her back so they could see her. And I didn't marry her because I didn't think I could take her back and make a promise to her. Well, that told me what they got. That guy was a genuine man just by that alone. I said, well, he said, I wish I could go back. I said, well, why would you want to go back? He said, because I'm still searching. You know, I've studied Buddhism. I've studied Judaism. And I told him, I said, well, you came to the right place. And he sat down. And I said, let me tell you about Jesus. And my daughter looked at me and she said, Dad, that's why we're here. Was for that guy. So, me telling you that story means this, and I said all that to say this one thing to you. There are people lost that look like they have it together. They don't. They don't know. They have no idea. They don't know how to get to where their next place is going to be. But our job, this is our job, our Bible-believing job, is to confess to them that Jesus is there for them. So we are going to have to step up in these days. We're in a really, really bad place right now with our country and everybody in it. So we have to take responsibility to tell people about Jesus, even when it's uncomfortable for us to do it. We have to do it. Because we may be the only Jesus that person knows. So we need to lead them to the Lord. And I challenge each and every one of you. This week, you have an entire week. I want you to take something. I want you to write down the address to this theater. I want you to write down the 10 o'clock time. And I want you to invite 5 people to church on this next Sunday. I'm challenging you. The only person stopping you from doing that is you. If you're uncomfortable about it, that's even a bigger challenge for you to make. But God is good. He will give us the right words to say. I don't know what I'm saying half the time. I'm opening my mouth. But he gives me the right thing to say. And if you trust in the Lord like I do, you have to believe that he will. But so that's my challenge for you guys. So get with the program. Write down the name of this building. Write down the address. Write down the number if you got to, if they need to get directions or whatever. But you need to invite 5 people to church this next Sunday. That's my challenge to you. So here's my song.
We thank all the soldiers for the price they had to pay just to have the freedoms that we all have today. Some gave up their normal lives and some had to give it all. There are monuments and memorials for those who took the fall. There were wars we had to fight 'cause this nation had enough. There were wars that made no sense at all in times of peace and love. I'm thankful for the soldier who stood up for this land to try to make a difference for their fellow man. But there is a veteran that we often forget. He's the one who gave it all without one regret. He saved the world with his sacrifice. He didn't wear a uniform. He never put up a fight. Hallelujah. With one selfless act, he rescued every man. His name is Jesus. He's the ultimate veteran. There are those who don't believe that he was ever here. But I can tell you right now, it's never been more clear. We're fighting for the freedom of Jesus in our lives. It's time for the Christians to stand up for Christ. 'Cause he is a that we often forget. He's the one who gave it all without one regret.
No regrets.
He saved the world with his sacrifice. He didn't wear a uniform. He never put up a fight with one selfless act. He rescued every man. His name is Jesus. He's the ultimate veteran. Yes, he is. His name is Jesus.
I'm not done. I'm sorry. I just got to tell you folks, you know, you can watch TV and you can watch the churches on TV. You can go to any other church in the world if you want to. But there are not too many pastors that teach out of this book. So, this guy does that. He preaches out of this Bible. And he means every word that he preaches. So.
Love you, man.
Love you too, buddy.
Sorry. Come on, let's hear from all. That was a great worship today, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness. Well, folks, today, we're in the third epistle of John. That's his third letter. We're finishing it up here. Are you excited or depressed? You're sitting there kind of looking at me like, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm excited. Because we're not finished with John. That's what I'm excited about, right there. I love John. When I went to seminary, we studied John a lot because there was so much in the language as we were working on this, trying to get it all together, where God spoke through John the Beloved. Remember, if anyone would know who Jesus Christ was, if anyone would understand him, if anyone had a concept about Jesus, this guy is the guy right here. Because for 3 years he walked with Jesus. Some scholars believe that he is a shirt-tail cousin of Jesus. So he knew him more than 3 years. And if that's the case, that just solidifies and validates even more John's teaching to us about who Jesus Christ was. Because if you had a relative, a cousin, brother, whoever, you know those people. And if they're not who they claim to be, or if they're not up to snuff, you know that too. And you're not going to go out in the world and tell them this person is someone that they're not. Because you're going to know in your heart of hearts who that person is. Jesus Christ, all of God, all of man, the incarnation, God with us, Emmanuel. All of these doctrines, all of these teachings came to us through the supernatural virgin birth. Died on the cross, shed his precious blood for our sins because he was the perfect sacrifice. As John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Out of all the disciples, he was the only one that made it to the cross and also was one of the two that we have on record that looked right into the tomb after he had risen from the dead. And not just seeing an empty tomb with the grave clothes lying there in a weird configuration. They saw him with their eyes. And here in the last time with Jesus, before he went to heaven, walking along the Sea of Galilee with him, the last moment was with these two people, see? With John and Peter. And John's kind of standing back and watching because Jesus had to take Peter aside. Didn't want to interrupt that intimate moment because Peter had denied Christ 3 times. And so I think John was watching to see if she's going to get spanked a little. What's going to happen here? And John's standing right there watching. As Jesus is asking the question, do you love me, Peter? And I'm sure John in his mind said, do I love him the same way? Do I really want to serve him with my whole heart and soul? Do I love him the way he's talking about? That person is the one that I want to talk to about who Jesus is. That's the one that I would listen to. That's the one that I would believe their eyewitness report about who Jesus Christ was. So he's writing this third epistle, once again verifying who Jesus is, but then to encourage the early church in what he called the teaching of the truth. And what was the truth that John the Beloved was talking about? The truth is that Jesus Christ is God. And that was his ultimate truth for the church. That you can trust who Jesus is because he's God. And God came and died for us and shed his blood for us so that we could be with him forever. God gave himself for us. That was the teaching of John the Beloved. This third epistle was written about the same time as the others, probably about 90 AD. And he's writing to people here. He mentions three people's names, three men. Gaius was one of them. which is a Greek name, because he's writing in the Koine Greek. And that Roman name for Gaius was Caius, with a C. This Gaius is mentioned five times in the scripture, twice in the book of the Acts, once in 1 Corinthians, once in Romans, and then now we have him in the third epistle of John. Now, is it the same person? We don't know. Because during this time, that was a very common Roman name, Caius. Could it have been different people? Yes. Could it have been the same person? Maybe. It could have been. But we don't know for certain. But we know this, that this person was well loved by John the Beloved and the church. So it starts in verse 1 here. The elder John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. There was a specific reason that he loved Gaius, because Gaius had heard the report from John the Beloved, had received the report, and as a Roman, as a Gentile, had accepted Christ as a Savior, like Mike was talking about today. Had accepted Christ as a Savior. His life has been changed because he came to the truth of who Jesus Christ was. Well beloved in the Greek. Well beloved means well liked, well loved, but someone that you're willing to go out on a limb for and to sacrifice for. Agapao, beloved. The church loved him, John loved him, because of his faithfulness to what? To the truth and the message of Jesus Christ. He had a sterling character. And he was a noble person. Earlier, John, in the second epistle, had talked about the lady. The lady. He wrote to a Christian lady, probably that he had seen come to Christ, one of his spiritual children. And was encouraging her as he wrote this epistle to the church. So this lady that was at the church there at Ephesus. Now he's writing to Gaius and encouraging him. Knowing that he's going to take this epistle, this letter, and share it with the church. So John the Beloved, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Then he goes to verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Well, here we go. Some of you are sitting there saying, here he goes. He's going to start teaching the prosperity gospel right now. Because there it is. It's got that word, prosper, right there. And a lot of people that I know that preach about prosperity, they'll throw this one out there. Let me tell you about this word prosper here. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. The word prosper in the Greek is oudoa, which means to help on the road, to succeed in reaching, to have a prosperous journey, to be on a good path, succeed, to do well, and to enjoy favorable circumstances. It's a rough time that this epistle is being written. The world is starting to cave in on the Christians. They're starting to go through certain community type of persecutions. Things are rough. So he's writing this to him. And he says, I wish above all things, I believe above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. In health here, you got prosper and health, two words. And health is hugiano, which means to have a sound health in the body, to be in health, to be. And this is what I like about this. It goes beyond just physical health. It goes into the spiritual health of a being, a person. To be in a situation where you're uncorrupted by bad doctrine. He was encouraging him that he would stay the course on that journey and prosper and have favorable circumstances as he's moving in his journey through life. Nothing about money is mentioned here. When you look at the word prosper, it's nothing about, you say, well, it talks about succeeding. Succeeding in what? Your business? Well, maybe you could put that in and throw that in there. Success in being a Christian. That you will prosper as you walk in faith in a newness of life with Jesus Christ. Nothing about money. It's all about our spiritual well-being. And when he's talking about the health, that you're in good health, yes, there were a lot of diseases. There were a lot of things going on. And so he's hoping physical health, but I think it goes beyond that. He's talking about a spiritual health. That you will walk close to the Lord, that you will have sound doctrine, that you will be uncorrupted by the world's philosophy and what they think about who Jesus Christ is. That you will walk in this journey and that you will have favorable circumstances and you will go on this journey and you will get through this life. So, does God want us to prosper? Yes. Does Jesus want us to prosper? Yes. Did John the Beloved want his disciples, his spiritual children to prosper? Yes. But was it ever about money? No. It was about staying the course and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. You know, Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Gave the money to Judas, the one that loved money. Figured that'd shut him up, I guess. Never about money. The Bible says if any man wants to come after Christ, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him. You want to follow Jesus? Has to be denial. What's that mean? That means you have to give up your life for him. Maybe sometimes your ambitions, your agendas, your goals that maybe are out of whack with what God's goals are for your life. That you need to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You deny yourself. You take up that cross. Self-sacrificially moving through this life. Does that mean you're never going to have money? No. Does that mean that this prosperity thing and being a Christian means you're going to get rich and have money? Heck no. Does it mean if you accept Jesus Christ, you're going to be the richest of all rich people on this planet because you gain heaven? That's exactly what it means. We need to open up our hearts to Jesus Christ and we need to follow what he said. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Walk the journey with him. And then guess what? You're going to prosper. Will it be money? Might be. Will it be the friends and associates that you work with? It might be. Will it be how you conduct yourself on a daily basis in this journey as you walk through life? Yes. It's all about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And that's what Mike brought out today. It's all about him. Number one. That you may prosper and be in health. And it says, even as thy soul prospereth. That's the most important thing. That our souls will prosper with the Lord. And we walk with him on a daily basis. Verse 3. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. He was happy. Rejoice in the Greek is kairo, which means to be cheerful, happy, well off. You're excited. And I rejoiced, was cheerful. I was happy greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth. Peripateto, walk. Which means how we direct ourselves, how we behave, how we conduct our lives. The value system that we embrace and use and live each and every day. That's what it's talking about, how we walk. We walk in the truth of who Jesus Christ is each and every day. I like this. I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in me. It's like when you hear about somebody, a friend, a relative, family member, or associate or something. They come to Christ. They find the truth. And their lives are changed. And they're living a whole different lifestyle. In fact, when you see them, you know something is different. They have the joy, the peace that passes all understanding that Christ gives them. And they walk in that newness of life. And you know what? As Christians, we see this. And if you're sitting here today and you're a Christian and you call yourself a believer, and you see somebody that knows Christ like we're talking about, and their lives have been transformed and changed by the love of Christ, the truth, and you don't get happy, you don't get happy, something's wrong with your faith. We need to all rejoice when we hear about somebody that's come to Christ and their lives have been changed and the truth has gotten a hold of them. We need to applaud that. We need to get behind that. We need to encourage that and encourage that person. Amen. Then it goes into this next verse right away. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Did you hear what he said? He's not lying. Nothing makes him happier. I have no greater joy, no greater joy in this life than to hear that my children, those that have come under my ministry, those that have come to the Lord, those that are my sheep as I've been the shepherd, that they're walking and continuing in the truth. Now, as a pastor, I'm going to tell you this straight up. Nothing makes me happier, I don't think, in this life, to hear from somebody that I had been a youth pastor, had worked with, had encouraged a few years back. Folks, I was 20 years old when I was entered my first youth pastorate. It was the West High Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, with Brother Wes Darby, wonderful Christian man. I loved him. Not only was he my teacher and proctor at the Bible college I went to, but he became a mentor to me. One day when I was at Bible college, he said, Brother Dave, I want you to come be youth pastor. Help us out. I said, I'm only 20. So my dad had church, which was Paradise Valley Baptist Church. And I'd always helped my father and been part of his team. So I went to my dad and I said, Dad, Pastor Darby wants me to come down and help him with the youth group. He already had a youth pastor at the time. I said, what do you think, Dad? Always valued my dad. My dad loved Pastor Darby. He says, no greater mentor. You go down there and you help Brother Wes. You want me to leave the church? He said, I'm not kicking you out. No, I don't want you to leave. But I think this is what God wants. 20 years old, I was a snot-nosed, runny-nosed youth pastor. Just a kid. And I tell you what, we had a handful of them too. We had some with a lot of major issues, and I learned real quick on the job training. The School of Hard Knocks was right there working with these young people. You know what I love? I love this. Still to this day, after 45 years, I hear from some of them. Some of them have even come here and been part of our ministry. And they're still walking in the truth. They're still living for the Lord. I had a couple of young people. As I got older, I moved to California. I was a youth pastor out there at another church that I grew up in, Temple Baptist Church, youth pastor, football coach, worked with these young people, loved them. And I hear Facebook friends, see, that they're in church every Sunday. They're raising their children in the truth, in the church, and they're walking with Jesus. I get happy real quick. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that makes me happier than to see people that that have come to the faith through me, still walking and living for the Lord. Now, I get sad when I hear stories about those that have fallen off and aren't where they should be. But those bright spots, like this Gaius, that the Apostle John the Beloved, is writing to. And he says this, I have no greater joy. No greater joy. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Folks, I'm telling you what. That makes a pastor happy real quick. Real quick. And if you think about your relationship with the Lord, I'm going to tell you this right today. And you have been touched somewhere, somehow, spiritually, by someone in your life that turned your life around, or at least encouraged you and made a difference in your life. You know who I'm talking about right now, because you're thinking of that person. You're seeing that one person that has encouraged you more in the faith than any other person. Get on the phone and give them a call. Or drop them a line, or email them, or Facebook. Do something. And let them know how much they encouraged you, and you're still walking in the truth. That will make their day. We need to encourage one another. Amen. Encourage each and every person in the faith, no matter what. It says this in verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Now he's leaving the fact that he's going right there and working with those folks. And Gaius in particular, and encouraging him and others to walk in the truth. Now he's saying, this is how you show that the truth is in you. How do we prove it? Just by saying we believe in Jesus and going on living any old way? No. We have to dig in deep, like Mike said. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. Doest in the Greek, ergazomai, which means to work, to toil, to commit, to minister about, to accomplish, to carry out. To the brethren and to strangers, we need to help one another. Don't just talk about it. It's like Jesus was talking. The people come up and they're in need, and we see them in need, and the brothers will say, be warmed and be filled. How? Are you going to help me? Oh, no. Somebody will. The Lord will take care of you. But I'm not going to do it. Be warmed and be filled. When there's a need in the church, when there's a need with people, we see the need, we want to help them. And if the Lord prompts us and we refuse to act on that prompting, there's something wrong with us in our faith. We're not where we should be. And that's why John is saying, this is what you do now. When you see the need, you take care of it. If you can, within your means, you help them and take care of them. When Denise and I first were in ministry, and just, I think it was the first year that we were married. We happened to be in San Bernardino, California, driving through there for something. And we drove by this one section of town, and we saw this African-American woman, young, probably 27, 28, all emaciated. I knew that she was an addict. And she stopped and said, could you help me? Could you help me? I said, what do you need? She said, I got kids at home. We need groceries. I said, get in the car. Get in the car. She got in the car with us. We drove to the grocery store. I said, you got any milk at home? No. couple of gallons of milk. I said, do you have any peanut butter and bread for you? Nope, peanut butter, bread. How about cereal? No, we don't have any. I got her all this stuff. We didn't have a whole lot of money. Let me tell you, we struggled. But here I was, young pastor, saw the need. We took it home, opened up the refrigerator to help her put it away. Nothing in the refrigerator. Nothing in it. We started loading it up. We prayed for her. Prayed that she would open up her heart to the Lord. And we left. Denise was real quiet. She didn't say one word. I don't think she knew what she was getting herself into when she hooked up with me. Now, am I patting myself on the back? Heck no, that's the least that I could do. And let me tell you, folks, if the Holy Spirit prompts you and tells you this is what you must do to help somebody out in this life, and you don't act on it, you're going to miss out on God's richest blessing for your life. You have to be that person. And here, John the Beloved is encouraging Gaius and the brothers to continue to help the brothers and even strangers, and to encourage them, whatever that means, financially, giving them housing, working with them in a special way, so that you prove your faith to Jesus Christ. We're going to finish up with this, because it gets pretty intense and it's exciting. So he's talking about Gaius. There's another guy called Diotrephes. Weird name in the Greek. And he's, that guy's something else, man. He's a full court case right there, this guy. And bad news. So we got this great guy in the truth. Then we got this other guy. Then we got an up-and-comer, Demetrius. And it's kind of neat to see all the different phases of these people that were involved in the church that John the Beloved had been teaching and pastoring there at Ephesus in Asia Minor. So we're going to continue in that. But I want to encourage you today. If you are here today, and you're a Christian, and more than likely you're a Christian, you wouldn't be sitting here hearing this guy preach and hearing the great singers today. Wasn't that? That was great today. You can clap. They're wonderful. If you need to get something right with the Lord, or maybe God has prompted you that you're not where you should be with Him. The Bible says if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. We've got to get close to God. We have to make a movement. It's weird the way that verse goes. It doesn't say that I'm going to always just draw you, so don't worry about it. You just sit there and you just be a slug and don't have to do anything. It didn't say that. It said if you start some movement and you move to God, if you do that, instigated even to a certain degree, you couldn't instigate it unless Jesus had died. We understand all that if we get into the philosophy of this. But there's the drawing to the cross. Here's the deal. If you move to the cross, if you move to God, the Bible says He'll get close to you. He'll come right there and He'll meet you. But you have to recognize the need and you need to start moving to the Lord. You need to recognize that maybe things aren't so good with you and the Lord. Maybe there is a vacancy there that you need to put Christ into and let Him be the Lord of your life and the center of your life so that you can be that person that's not only going to make your pastor happy, but make Jesus happy by your walk with Him. We need to draw closer to Him. And He's going to draw close to us. And guess what? We're going to be where we should be with Him. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today, like I said, and the Lord has touched you in a special way. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's sin in your life. You need to confess it. Or maybe you just haven't been walking and listening to the Holy Spirit. And you're missing out on opportunities. If you're here today and the Lord has touched you in a special way, and you want to draw near to Him, and you want to get your heart right with Him. No one's looking around. Would you slip your hand up and put it down? Yes, God bless you. All over. Yes. Lord, I pray for these that have made decisions today. We don't know what they are, but You know. If there's sin in their lives, Lord, help them to confess and get their heart right. If they haven't been listening to You and the prompting of the Spirit, I pray, Lord, that You touch them in a special way. Help them to draw close to You right now, to feel Your breath upon them, Lord, so that they can be inspired to move in the Holy Spirit. I pray that You'll bless each and every person that came today, encourage them in the faith, and help us, Lord, to remember where we've come from and who we are now. And that we can encourage those people that have made such an impact on our life. Bless them and help them. We ask this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. You know, I tell you, dropping a line or just calling somebody. I called my old seminary professor, Dr. James Roskopf. I told you about him. He writes those Western novels, too, under Jim Ross. And he's such a good guy. I just called him up out of the blue. And he was just right about ready to retire. He was a few years older than me and from teaching seminary. He taught hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young men and women, preparing them with the Bible. And he pounded it in me. Inspiration, divine, it is all of God. It is God's Word. So whenever I studied books with them, we studied the book of Matthew, the book of Genesis. These are some heavy-duty major hitters in the Bible. And studied smaller books with them. Whatever it was, those books came alive to me because he believed with all his heart that the truth of God was right there. And he handled the Bible as the truth of God. And I thanked him. I said, thank you, Dr. Roskopf, for pounding it in me, man. I said, I'm still preaching every Sunday. Thank God. Thank God, he said. Love this man. God's got a place for him. I know that. So call him or drop him a line. Tell him that you're walking with the Lord. That'll make their day. They'll be all happy, I guarantee you. We got some prayer requests here. If I miss any, let me know. I want to still remember Liz and Kim Kelly, as Lou went home to be with the Lord. We're going to continue to remember that family in prayer. We want to keep remembering our brother Kevin, that God's going to bless him and help him. Struggling, but yet the Lord is helping him. We'll just pray for him. We want to remember Jim Wendt and Alan, and they're really doing much better. I talked to Alan last week at the social that we had, and Jim, and they seem to be doing okay. Just don't lift anything heavy, either of you. Yeah, okay. George Croft's hanging in there, doing okay. He's at church today. I love you, George. You're kind of smarting off about my buttons being a little tight, but that's okay. I'll take it. I'm good. He's still going back to the donut thing. He wants those buttons to pop, I think. Love you, George. Love you and Sody both. You know that. And I'm so thrilled that you're able to come and be part of us. I'm praying. He's going to come right back home. Anyway, that's another story. Want to remember Carl and Ann Pulver's son, Brian, that God's just going to bless him. How's he doing? Any changes? We keep praying. Want to remember Norma's daughter that's doing better. Debbie's doing better. We just keep praying. And her son, Danny, that God's going to touch him. That God's just going to be with him. Mary's daughter is back with her today. She's the one who fell from the ladder, folks. And stubborn, didn't go to the doctor. But she was all beat up, and she brought her pillow to church. I bet you wish you had that pillow when you fell off the ladder, huh? God bless you. We'll keep praying for you that God's going to help you. Want to remember Bernie's friend and manager at the diner. And anything on the 7-month-old baby that came down with the cancer, anything new? Really? doing chemotherapy on a 7-month. Isn't that something? Well, we pray. We pray, don't we? Because the Lord knows. God bless her. We'll pray. Want to remember our buddy Bill Scritfield that's in the Point Lookout over there, that God's just going to help him. Wanda's caregiver, that God's going to encourage you, surround you with the angels, and just encourage you, Wanda. We love you so much. Richard and Bonnie Jenkins, that God will just bless them and help them. And then Brenda, what is the date on your test coming up? Oh, 11. So we have another week and a half. But pray for Brenda. She's had some health issues in the past, and she's a little nervous, but I know the Lord's going to see her through. So let's just lift Brenda up to the Lord, that God is just going to bless her. Did I miss anybody else? Yes, Kevin. And Teresa? Oh, that's great. Angie, we pray for her, that God's going to touch her. Yes, Norma. Oh. All right, just pray for Dorma. She's now starting to travel a little bit and sharing her testimony and her story, which involves human trafficking. And it's a story, but the Lord saved her. And so happy to have you. Let's give these prayer requests to the Lord. Let's all stand. We're going to have communion in a moment. It just takes a moment. So if you can stay, we stay. We have a bucket on the way out if you're able to help with the ministry. Once again, a few of you asked, when is the TV? Some of you turned the TV on. It was some paid programming thing. We're coming on April the 5th in the morning. Friday we worked on our commercial spots, 18 of them a week we're going to have. Is that right? I think so. We're having 18 commercial spots a week. Is that what's going to happen on that? Yeah. And then we also worked on the conclusion. We want people to watch, and then if they need Jesus Christ, to accept the Lord right there. So we're going to give them the opportunity right there to accept Christ. We went over my study, so you're going to see us in our study there at the house. But it's going to be a unique thing. Some of you asked about that again. 3/4 of the monies were raised for the TV ministry. We still have a little bit more to go, but we're knowing that the Lord's going to take care of it. If you want to get behind Channel 33, the ABC affiliate right here, KSPR, if you want to write a check, you can put TV down at the bottom, the TV thing. Just put TV so we'll know it. We'll earmark it. And if it's just your regular tithe check, it's Branch and Gospel Sunday. All right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you that you're the God that hears and that you love us and you want the best for us. I pray, Lord God, that you'll just open up our minds and hearts and show us the way. As we study your word, the words of wisdom, the words of life, the words that change and transform us, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to live that new life and to be different. Lord, I thank you for all these people. I thank you for those even that we're praying for today, that you're going to touch them in a special way. And Lord, just heal them and raise them up. We ask this for those that are going through other tests and everything. Lord, that you'll just get them through there. Bless the doctors. Help them as they deal with them. But Lord, you're the great physician. We pray that you'll touch them right now and heal them. So Lord, help us on our way. And help us to encourage one another in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Good morning. God bless each and every one.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise.